Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good morning, everyone. Dermot Whelan here. I'm sitting in for Oliver today. It's Thursday, the 5th of June, and I'm with you until 10 a.m. Let us know what you're thinking in the usual ways. You can text 51551. You can WhatsApp 087-032-3232 or send longer thoughts by email to oliver@rte.ie. So we have a great show for you this morning. Later I'm going to be chatting with Brianna Nicdiarmada, a fascinating woman with a passion for history and storytelling. Now, you might remember 1916, The Irish Rebellion, a show voiced by Liam Neeson. Well, she made that, and she's now made a brilliant new series that starts this week on the telly. From That Small Island, it's called. It's about Irish history from the earliest days to the most recent. It is an absolute must watch. I got a little sneak peek of this, and I'm very excited to bring you Brianna and for the show to be aired. And for this show, she got Colin Farrell to voice it as well. She would definitely win the Who's the Most Famous Person in Your Phone competition down the pub. Looking forward to talking all things history with the Brianna, mostly because Brianna will make my archaeology degree look slightly useful. That's a win. We'll also be talking about the feel-good factor that comes with sending and receiving cards and letters, something that I have definitely rediscovered lately. According to the Telegraph newspaper, the act of showing your appreciation with a thank you letter is becoming a lost art. Do you send or receive any kinds of cards or letters, and do you keep them? Are you like me and find it weird to be writing anything with your hand these days? That's all coming up on the show too. But first, there is good news for hangry people in Dublin, because Deliveroo has announced that it is teaming up with drone delivery company Manna to launch drone deliveries in Dublin. An initial test phase will begin in the coming days and be available to people within a 3 kilometre radius of Blanchardstown in Dublin 15. So it's a limited area right now. Something similar, of course, has operated in other parts of the country down, I know, in the Galway area. Something similar was running there. Deliveroo said customers will be able to order from local restaurants and have the food flown to them in as little as 3 minutes once the order is ready. The drones will be flying at speeds of up to 80 kilometres per hour. When they arrive at your house, the drone hovers and lowers the food to the ground via a secure biodegradable tether, usually in a driveway or garden. All perfectly normal. Manna has already completed over 170,000 delivery flights in the Dublin 15 area, but there have been some complaints from residents about the noise coming from drone deliveries. Locals in the area say the sound is like a lawnmower or moped, which can be quite annoying. Manna says, though, it is using a number of measures to reduce noise levels and that it would welcome further regulation. But you know what it makes me think? How long before the seagulls cop on? They are far too devious to let something like this pass them by. I know, I've been attacked by enough of them. They're like, you can just see the seagulls up there thinking, wait, we don't even have to land on the ground to steal their food now. We could just pluck it straight out of the sky, stupid humans. They're practically flying it straight into our nests. You can picture them sitting on the roof, can't you? Just watching all the dinners fly by. Chicken korma, Tony? Nah, had that last night. Quite fancy a spice bag, I think, this evening. Sometimes, did you know, it pays to die. You have probably never heard of the character Alex Kintner, but the man who played him in a very famous movie is making a lot of money 50 years after his screen debut. Now, Alex Kintner is the 12-year-old boy that is seen being devoured by the menacing great white shark, Jaws, in the film. And now, 62, the real man, Jeffrey Voorhees, who played the child, the man who played him all those years ago, says he is still being flown all around the world to appear at conventions. And they flock to his website to buy signed T-shirts and photos and all that kind of merch. He can earn as much as £10,000 sterling for each appearance he makes, which is incredible. 50 years later, back in the early 70s, he was just a local kid from Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, who saw that they were making a movie down the road at his local beach. He put himself forward as an extra because he heard you could make $40 a day, which was a lot to a 12-year-old. Next thing he knows, He's spending 5 days in the pounding surf pretending to be eaten by a mechanical shark and swimming around in vats of fake blood. Of course, the best part for him, he says, was that he got to meet the stars of Spielberg's classic, which included the brilliant Richard Dreyfuss, Roy Scheider and Robert Shaw. Now, Shaw, who played the shark hunter Quint in the movie, you may remember. And it was very exciting for the young actor Voorhees to be surrounded by these incredible stars. In fact, he tells the story of meeting Robert Shaw for the first time. He says Robert Shaw was sitting on the beach over by the fire, away from everyone else. We were just little kids and we went, oh, let's go over and say hello to him. We all ran up to him and he sounded like he did in the movie. We could smell booze off him. And he went,
get away from me, you little shits.
Which shows that you should never really meet your heroes, folks. It sounds like a scene from The Simpsons. But amazing, 50 years later, to be still making all that money from such... He was only on screen for about a minute. So he must be just thanking his lucky stars all his life. Some of you might be watching Jeremy Clarkson's TV series, Clarkson's Farm, which is on Prime. And it documents the former Top Gear presenter's trials and tribulations while trying to run a farm in the Cotswolds. But not content with just buying a farm, he has also bought a pub called The Farmer's Dog. Now, I have to say, I never thought I'd be a fan of this show. I just thought Clarkson was kind of an irritating, mouthy, brash alpha male who loved saying everything was the greatest thing in the world. But my wife and I gave it a reluctant go one night, and I've been absolutely glued to it, I have to say, ever since. Despite growing up in Limerick surrounded by farms, I didn't really know anything about farming are the things that were involved, other than being chased out of the odd hay barn for playing in there as a kid. But I found the show does a really good job of explaining farming all through the eyes of the hapless Clarkson, who really makes a dog's dinner of most of the agricultural tasks set out in front of him. And British farmers have been really pleased with the show in general because they finally feel that they have a strong voice in the media that is highlighting all the issues that they're dealing with. And now the Telegraph is asking today, can Clarkson's Farm save Britain's pubs after he has now bought a pub as part of the show? Because he's a glutton for punishment. It reports that there were more than 60,000 pubs in Britain in the year 2000. That's fallen to 45,000, according to the British Beer and Pub Association. The reasons for closures include higher taxes, the pandemic, people just not coming back to the pub as much after, and energy prices. So people in the industry are saying that Clarkson is now shining a spotlight on the difficulties that pubs face, as well as the farms. And I guess so much of it applies here too, doesn't it? Irish publicans here said they are hitting breaking point and people are not going to pubs as much anymore because of the prices. That is definitely something that is putting a lot of people off. Education around alcohol. We just don't drink as much. We were talking about that on the show yesterday. And a change in consumer behaviour. Again, we spoke about how younger generations preferring things like going to the gym rather than going to the pub. And according to a Drinks Industry Group of Ireland study, get this, some 114 pubs on average have closed across Ireland every year of the last 18 years. So that's 114 pubs every year for 18 years. That's an incredible number. Certainly something I notice when I drive around the country on tour, I have to say. I noticed that recently. Just the amount of closed pubs in towns and villages are ones that look closed, but maybe they only open at the weekend. So if you're a farmer or a publican, I'd love to know if you've seen Jeremy Clarkson's show and if you think it reflects reality or is it just exaggerated entertainment or if it's any help at all. 51551 or 087 032 32 32. Cast your mind back and have a think about what posters were on your wall as a kid or a teenager. It's okay, you don't have to admit it out loud. You can just remember who was looking down on you as you slept. I always think these are the special bands and music that kind of stay with you, don't they? And you feel a pang of nostalgia every time you hear the music or read something about them. And one band that definitely populated my County Limerick bedroom wall in the 80s was A-ha. And one story that's in all the papers today is the sad news that Morten Harket, lead singer with the Norwegian group, has announced his diagnosis with Parkinson's disease. The band, of course, are famous for hits like Take On Me and The Sun Always Shines on TV. And Morten says he's having issues with his voice due to the condition, which causes parts of the brain to become progressively damaged over many years. And he actually underwent treatment last year for the condition. He had a neurosurgical procedure. I didn't even know you could do this, but He's gone through it. Electrodes were implanted deep inside the left side of his brain last June, and he had a similar procedure on the right side of his brain in December. And while they've softened the impact of his symptoms, he still says he's not sure how the disease is going to affect his voice and his creativity in the future. It's a lot to be dealing with, but actually it's the way he's speaking about his situation and the diagnosis that actually had an impact on me this morning when I read it. Because he says on the AHA website, he's 65, and he says, "I'm trying the best I can to prevent my entire system from going into decline. It's a difficult balancing act between taking medication and managing its side effects." And then he says, "There's so much to weigh up when you're emulating the masterful way the body handles every complex movement, our social matters and invitations, our day-to-day life in general. I've got no problem accepting the diagnosis," he says. "With time, I've taken to heart my 94-year-old father's attitude to the way the organism gradually surrenders. I use whatever works." What a beautifully accepting way to greet that kind of news. I'm not sure the rest of us would feel so philosophical about it, particularly at 65, which in the scheme of things is young. And the band actually have had a bit of a Kate Bush moment just a few weeks ago, finding new audiences, as these things tend to happen, when Take On Me featured in the post-apocalyptic drama The Last of Us. After finding an abandoned music shop, Ellie, who was played by Bella Ramsey, gave us an Armageddon rendition of one of their big songs. Very nice. It goes to show that even in an apocalyptic future, there's always somebody with a guitar who takes it out, and you all have to sit there and listen to them murder one of your favourite songs. You'd be wishing for the zombies to come through the window. But we wish Morten Harkett all the best. And let's play the actual version of that tune, shall we? They got so many of us through secondary school. Take On Me, it's AHA 51551 for any texts if you want to get in touch with the show.